Lord, for the rest of this time, as we open up your word today, bless this time, we pray. You've promised your word will not return to you void. And, well, just thinking about, even as Jennifer was talking about water first, and thinking about the fact that, like the rains fall down, like the snow and the rain that comes down and waters the earth, so is your word. And so that's the important thing we want to talk about today, is your word. Bless it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm getting over this bout of laryngitis, so I have been gargling with salt water all week to sound this good. Thank you again, Jennifer Armstrong, for being here. And yes, as you can see, it's our sermon series, Psalms, Chords in the Key of Life. And I want to thank Sean for speaking last Sunday. I really appreciated what you had to say, too. So, and it's up on the website. Yeah, why not? And so it's up on the website, too, if you want to listen to what he had to say. And Jennifer Armstrong, thank you for coming from Water First. It was actually Pastor Colin that got us involved with you folks, and so really nice of you to make the trip here. I know you didn't come all the way down to Creemore just to see us. She's been sort of touring around this part of the province, so thank you, and we really appreciate. And since our minds are on water, I just thought it might be good to kind of look at some of the images of water that we find in the Psalms. The importance of water in our lives, and for so many things. And of course, the irony is not lost on anybody. In fact, I even mentioned it to Jennifer when she got here. And so she now knows, as you all know, that here at Generations Community Church, we cannot drink our water. You know, and you think about, yeah, you think about the importance of water. We have to post signs warning people not to drink the water out here. We use hand sanitizer. And by the way, for you guys that are using the men's washroom, you got to really reef down on that handle, but it will work. And we will get that fixed. Now, for us, you know, it's more of an inconvenience, although keeping everybody safe out here, that takes a lot of work. People like Sue Hanley especially, and everybody, and today especially too, with the potluck, the people who so carefully and properly wash and sanitize our dishes and our cutlery. Yeah, we do that. But when we all go home, we just turn on a tap, don't we, and drink as much as we like. Okay, I remember. All right, I'll briefly say this. When Mary and I were down in Guyana, South America, and you couldn't drink the water down there. So they made us this, you know, sort of coffee and tea. It was like, so I didn't have like a drink of water for like 10 days. I get to the airport, Pearson, get back home, Pearson Airport in Toronto, and there's one of those, you know, metal water fountains. And I just start guzzling that water. And then it suddenly occurs to me, I'm drinking city water out of a public tap at the airport. But I didn't care, right? Because I knew what it was to be without it. It's safe and refreshing when you think about all the things that a municipality has to do to make sure that what comes out of your tap is something you can use, something you can drink. We take it for granted, but as Jennifer was sharing, you know, organizations like Water First, they work very hard to make sure everybody in Canada, and especially among our First Nations people, you know, how many years have they gone without having clean water? That's just a right. And so we want to try to make sure everybody here in this country has access to clean drinking water. It's so important. And so you're doing a really good work. Yeah. Now, in the Psalms, we find some famous images and a few obscure ones of water. And water serves as one of the most powerful and versatile metaphors in the entire Bible, by the way, not just in the Psalms. Water represents everything from spiritual nourishment. We think of the Word of God sometimes, you know, being called water, right? As the water and the snow comes down and doesn't return without watering the earth, so is my word that goes out. There's the refreshment that we find. I mean, how many of us have heard Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And he leads us beside still, quiet waters. He refreshes our soul. Water brings restoration, safety, and deep soul-refreshing peace. Water also has power, right? We think of floods. In the scriptures, we think about those storms out, well, we think about them even here, right? The storms out on the lake. How many of us know that song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? I mean, the Lake Superior, 1975. Man, the gales of November came early. So there's danger in water sometimes, even destruction. And those images can be found in the scriptures as well. Now, way back when we started this sermon series, we looked at these verses. This is Psalm number 1, just the first three verses of it, but it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers." Well, and you know, we don't preach what has been called the prosperity gospel here in North America. Biblical prosperity is not limited to finances. You can be very rich in material things and be an absolute pauper when it comes to your soul. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to be content. He said so in Philippians 4, 12 and 13. He said, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." As he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, godliness with contentment, that's great gain. I've looked at that sometimes, you know, and thought to myself, boy, some days I'm not that godly, some days I'm not that content. That's something to work on. Godliness with contentment, it's great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it. There's no U-Haul trailers on the end of hearses, right? But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. So, rich or poor, we all can find God's present help in times of need, as the scriptures say. And when he blesses us financially, his desire is, might even be a command, that we would share that with other people and that they would be blessed through us. It is not, you know, whoever dies with the most toys wins. No, that's the worst philosophy of all. God calls us to give. More blessed to give than receive. Well, if you have a Bible, I thought we would just look at some verses. Actually, we're going to go to Psalm 42 in a moment. If you want to turn there, we have a song based on this psalm. Psalm 42, it's actually the opening psalm of book number 2. You might remember when we started this series, the psalms are cataloged into 5 different books. And this one, we are told, is for the director of music, something called a maskil, whatever that is, some kind of musical literary term. It made sense, you know, to the people back in those days. And it's also of the sons of Korah. So some of you might remember, we talked about those people who were the doorkeepers of the temple. That was their ministry. And we have a song about that, right? "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you." I better not do that too much longer. But let's read it, Psalm 42, and I'll just look at the first, we'll start with the first 6 verses. But yeah, "as the deer pants for streams of water, So my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? You know, in this day was the temple. You had to go there. That's where you're going to find God. Today, you can meet with him wherever you are. Wherever you are, whenever. Wherever, whenever. Because, well, look, this is, Kevin mentioned it a bit briefly there. Might have been a very difficult week for some of us. In fact, in the psalmist, he says, my tears have been my food day and night. That's a different kind of water, isn't it? Tears. People are saying to me all day long, where's your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of the Lord. Okay, hold on just a second. It's my profession, so I have to tell you this. There is something good about going to church. We often find, for most of us, you know, if we're not at our best, that's when we don't come to church. Oh, I can't go to church. I'm not at my best. You know, people will, no, that's when you need to come. And so some people, they get into the places they're in because they've forgotten to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Now, we have a small T throng here. Isn't it good to be here? Isn't it good to be here this morning? Now, ever talk to yourself? He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet trust him. I'll yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Okay, nobody knows exactly what Mount Mizar is. They think it was maybe a smaller mountain around a place called Mount Hermon. And I actually got to see Mount Hermon. Yeah, we were in kind of a conservation area in Israel. And up above the trees, you could see this giant mountain. And if I remembered correctly, Hermon is the tallest mountain out there in Israel. And water is such a precious commodity over there. People try really hard not to waste it. Mount Hermon, I was told, that for a good part of the year, now, by the way, I was there at the end of April. It was in the mid-30s. I mean, in the evening, trying to float in the Dead Sea, it was 35 degrees. That was not refreshing whatsoever. So it's very hot in that part of the world. But often, so they say, you can still see snow on the top of Mount Hermon. And the water that falls from the rain, the dew that collects on that mountain, it trickles its way down, you know, and I guess it goes through all those rocks and things and actually cleans it. But as it goes down Mount Hermon, people gather it. People gather it, they collect it. And over the last 70 or 80 years, the nation of Israel has done an amazing job of bringing water collected from places like Mount Hermon. And with the most modern irrigation technology, they're able to grow such a variety of fruits and vegetables and flowers. I even saw bananas growing there. Now, in many ways, we took a little trip over to the Kingdom of Jordan, all right? And when you go over there to the Middle East at all, it is like, it's barren. In fact, you remember your favorite Star Wars movies? Especially the first one, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Do you know where they filmed all those desolate places? Over in Jordan. It's just, there's so much rock and sand and... But in Israel, they found ways to make their part of the world, their part of the Middle East, very fertile. Water makes things really thrive in a climate like that over there. Now, keep your thumb in Psalm 42. But if we flip over to Psalm 133, you know what? There's just three verses in Psalm 133. And we get a really good word for a church community like ours. Okay, as it says here in verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We've all seen examples of what happens, you know, when they don't. But when they live together in unity, isn't that wonderful? Now, verse 2. Okay, this is a little strange for us, talking about the priesthood of the day, right? So this pleasantness and goodness when we live in unity, it's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, running down on the collar of his robe. That does not sound too appealing to us. But verse 3 says, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. So almost like falling like rain. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And as we go back to Psalm 42, I mentioned we sing a song based on that first verse, as the deer pants for the water. I don't know if you recognize these words, but there's a newer song called Oceans. Oceans, right? And some of you know that very well. And it comes from this verse 7, part of it anyway, right? Where deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. Think about that refreshment, by the way. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Now, remember some of these things the psalmist has been writing here in Psalm 42. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Do you ever get to those places in your life where you think, well, where's God? Do you think he's going to forget you? No. But why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where's your God, right? And verse 11 is very much like verse number 5 earlier. Again, the psalmist says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? No, put your hope in God. All right, things may not change right away, but I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I mean, we call people to come to the waters. Put your hope in God. He sent Jesus to offer his own blood for the forgiveness of our sins. I mean, in Gethsemane that night, his blood was mixed with water. But then on the cross. And how often do we even feel sometimes his presence with us, right? Through his Holy Spirit as we walk with him in this world. And even when we don't feel him, because we don't go by feelings, right? They change, even with the weather. But even when we don't feel him, don't feel like it, right? How often does he restore our hope? How often can we find reasons to praise our Savior and our God? That's why we come to fellowship together. It's why people like me bug you to stay in the Bible, right? Because that's where we find hope and reasons to praise our Savior and our God. Like life-giving water sustaining us. And in these scriptures, we get so many pictures of water. Am I not doing a good commercial for Water First, Jennifer? Yeah, we're gonna be increasing our giving, I'm sure. There are so many pictures of water as a symbol of life, provision, peace, spiritual health. But there are times. Okay, look at Psalm 69, verse 1 through 3. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there's no foothold. I've come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. This is not, you know, your breakers over me, refreshing me. No, this is, I'm drowning. I'm drowning and I'm worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. Isn't that interesting? Of course, you know, you can be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and not be able to drink a drop, right? My eyes fail looking for my God. Now, David wrote this psalm, and as Kevin mentioned, he wrote a lot of them. He certainly knew what it was to have enemies, I mean physically, trying to do him harm. So what does he do? Well, it's again in this psalm, verses 13 through 16. He says, but I pray to you. I keep maintaining that relationship to God. I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor. In the New Testament, it mentions the time of the Lord's favor. Now, back in the Old Testament, we mentioned this, right? You know, God says you obey these things and you'll do okay. Now we have the cross. Everything changed. And so we are told now that we are living in the year, it's been 2000 so far, we're living in the year of the Lord's favor. Until he returns someday, we call people to come. It's the year of the Lord's favor. He's not looking for you to see who can follow the rules the best. No, we can't. But he says, come to my son, receive his forgiveness. So we pray to him in the time of his favor. In your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the floodwaters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. My. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love. Not out of the faithfulness of my performance. No. No, out of the goodness of his love. In your great mercy, turn to me. And time and time again, in David's life, and in ours too, if we will remember, hasn't God proven to us that he's not going to leave us nor forsake us? Hadn't he? David was able to write this verse, Psalm 69, verse 30. And again, same thing. In spite of whatever's happening, no, I'm going to praise God's name. I'm going to praise his name in song, which we did this morning, and glorify him with thanksgiving. So may whatever difficulties we find in this life, and you know, sometimes we don't have to go looking for them, do we? But may the times like that always cause us not to run away from the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, right? I don't know. People will think I'm not really on fire for God and I better not go to church. No. You best time to be in a place like this is when you're not in such a good shape. So may those times cause us, well, to dwell in unity with our brothers and sisters, but then also to come even closer to the Lord. Praise his name in song. Glorify him in thanksgiving. It will do something to you, your psyche, won't it, even. Now, I will always remember the first time I heard somebody preach, and I'm going to share some verses in a moment to close. But I always remember the time I first heard these words through the prophet Jeremiah. And I was going to mention to Sean, I remember he shared some stuff from Jeremiah last Sunday, so there's lots of good stuff in there. Now, as we think about water and all the benefits of physical H2O, how much do our souls need to be refreshed by spiritual water? Okay, I was thinking of Jesus' words, first of all, in John chapter 7. He said, let anybody who's thirsty go join a church. Is that what he said? No. He said, come to me. Come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. And then John tells us that by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Now I know, you all remember the sermon I did one time on staying close to the source of living water. I know you've got it memorized, probably framed in your house somewhere, but how often when we are thirsty, okay, spiritually, emotionally, how often do we try to satisfy that thirst in ways that are ultimately not healthy for us? Hey, this new relationship I'm in, this is going to fix everything. Uh-huh. might make us feel a little better for a moment. Right? Remember the scriptures talk about the pleasure of sin for a season? Yeah, there's a season. We run and we chase after experiences that we think, oh, this is gonna make me feel better. This is gonna fix things. But God keeps calling us to Himself as the source of living water, spiritually. And then we too become a source of refreshment to others. You know, when He said those rivers flowing out from us, we become refreshment to the people around us. And by the way, He's responsible for that. Okay? It's all from His Spirit. Our responsibility is to keep our relationship to Him at all costs. Stay at the source. So in Jeremiah 2, okay, first of all, in verse 5, we read this. And this is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? I wanted to include that there because, you know, we got people who were not raised in a Christian family at all, right? And you found out maybe that, well, your mom or your dad or your grandpa or grandma, oh, they had a bad experience in a church one time. And they've just said no. I read a very sad thing from a friend of mine who posted it, and she sang beautiful Christian music, but she said, no, I'm done with it. I've told my kids, don't go to any kind of university with any sort of religious tie to it. I won't let you go, right? Yeah. And God says, whoa, what'd I do? As they strayed so far from me. And what happens when you stray from God? You follow worthless idols. And when you follow worthless idols, you become like them. You become worthless yourself. And then in verse 13, so I want to leave you with this. I'm going to let you ponder this. I've pondered them very often. But God says in Jeremiah, 2 and verse 13, He said, my people have committed two sins. Number one, they've forsaken me, the spring of living water. And then number two, they've dug their own cisterns, their own wells, and their broken ones, and they can't hold water. How many times have I tried to find my spiritual refreshment in a shallow well of my own making? Bit of water to scrape away some of the shale. I might find some water. So today, as we have learned about water first, may we be a people who find our greatest refreshment by staying close to the source of true living water, first and foremost. God bless you. Lord, thank you for the water, the springs of living water that we find, first of all, in Jesus Christ. And that Spirit that causes them to flow, and we become blessings for other people. And Lord, how often though, and it's not easy living in a world like ours, it's just not. And how often do we just try and run after things that we think are going to fix, solve our problems? It might for a while. Lord, remind us not to forsake you. You are the spring of living water. Lord, help us in not keep digging our own wells. They can't hold water anyway. Thank you for the work that Water First is doing here in our country. And thank you for Jennifer being here with us today. And I pray you bless them and some of these new projects that she mentions. And Father, may our time together downstairs now be a time of real refreshment for us. We thank you, we bless you, we praise you, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Kevin, we got one more song, don't we? And I think it's about water.